I want to read, and I want to let you know exactly who it is, because yes, this is going to be a Christian advertisement. Now, I don't, I have not, yeah, sure, you can record. I have not been on social media for the last year and a half, 2 years. However, when I was on social media, there was one that I frequented towards the end there when I was on social media. The one that I frequented, I'm saying that right, was Gab, G-A-B. It's the only really true free speech platform out there where they will not censor you for saying especially anything Christian or conservative. So if I can find it real quick, I get a weekly Gab email, and what's good about it is he also, Andrew Torba is the owner, CEO, whatever. He is Gab. He and a handful of guys, because Gab was getting kicked off of PayPal, Apple, this, that. I mean, they were kicked off of everything. And so he had to take 3 years to build his own servers. He got enough sponsors. He had enough, one or two people, where Gab was literally, you could count the employees on one hand. And for three and a half years, I think it was, they got their own servers. He's a young guy, probably in his 30s, lives out in the woods in a cabin. But he has a great influence. And let me read his latest. This just came in my mailbox yesterday. And so the title of this email is Gab on the Rachel Maddow Show. It says, last night, Rachel Maddow dedicated most of her show to attacking Christian nationalism, Gab, Doug Mastriano, and my character personally. In other words, Andrew Torba. I'd like to start by saying that I'm praying for Mrs. Maddow. She's obviously a very confused and sad woman, but Jesus loves her nonetheless. I watched a replay of her show and reacted to many of the baseless lies in this video. So he provides a link to where he will play, I assume he plays her, and then he'll interrupt and then have a rebuttal, right, to defend himself, right? Because, of course, they're not going to ask, she's not going to ask him on her show. So let me enter back into the quote. I encourage you to please watch it and hear our side of the story in full response. I don't apologize for anything I've said or any of the work we are doing to take dominion of our country and culture for the glory of God. Jesus gave us a mission, the Great Commission. We are to make disciples of all nations, including but not limited to the United States of America. We have seen the fruits, or lack thereof, of our nation being led by godless pagans, non-believers, Jews, and fake Christians in name only. Now it is time for our nation to be led by wise Christian warriors who fear God, read their Bible, and will not bend the knee to the wicked establishment class. In other words, we need Christian men who embrace their God-given masculine energy to conquer and lead. I don't see a lot of that. Currently, we have weak and pathetic, emasculated Christian, quote-unquote, men like Mike Pence who embrace submissive feminine energy. That ends now. If we are going to build a Christian movement, it must be exclusively Christian, and we can't be afraid to say that out loud. We are all sinners saved by grace, but if you do not repent and believe in Jesus, then you do not share our biblical worldview and cannot participate in any meaningful position of authority in the movement. It's just that simple. Notice how unapologetically he is to use his business for the kingdom. You notice there's no dichotomy there. Well, I worship God, but I make money over here. No, they're one and the same with Andrew Torba. Political, social, and cultural movements without a shared common worldview and moral framework are doomed to failure. This can only work with a baseline barrier to entry, and that baseline is simple. You must repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We don't care about your race, ethnic background, or past sins, because neither does Jesus. We only care that you wholeheartedly repent and follow him. Christian nationalism is not merely a political movement. It is a social, cultural, and spiritual one. Christian nationalism is not merely limited to the right wing in the United States. Our King has dominion over this entire earth. Every square inch, Christians around the world are rising up right at this very moment to claim what is rightfully his. We are done being the footstool of the enemy. We are done being pushovers. We are done with simply wanting to be left alone. That was me for such a long time, and I kind of still am that way. Just leave me alone. But God doesn't want to leave you alone. God wants you to get busy, not in politics, but for the kingdom. The best thing we can do if we want to see political change is preach the gospel. Okay, I interrupted that quote. Let me get back to it. We are done with simply wanting to be left alone. Now we want to win souls for Christ, win elections, win in the culture, win in the education system, win with our own technology, as he has done, right? He said, okay, PayPal, you're canceling me. Apple, you're canceling me. Amazon, you're canceling me. I'll do my own, and it'll have the name of Christ on all of it. Win with our own technology, our own media, Gab, our own entertainment. We need that, don't we? Don't we need more Christian entertainment? I'm wearing Theocracy today, my newly acquired shirt, because of my excellent taste in music and Christian lyrics. Okay, our own media, our own entertainment, win for the glory of God. God does not discriminate. The only quote-unquote chosen people are those who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a religion of racial supremacy where the race or ethnic group you are born into elevates you above the rest of us cattle. That's not the gospel message of Jesus Christ. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but will have... That should be John 3:16. That's a typo, I guess. Have everlasting life. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Christ. Anyone is welcome to join us if they repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, including Rachel Maddow. To God be the glory. Andrew Torba, CEO, Gab.com. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Okay, this is why I like Gab. This is why I like Andrew Torba. He doesn't mess around. And we need more like that. Anyway, that got me fired up. So I just literally read that during the chorus practice, the praise team practice. And I said, I think I'll share that because there's so many great articles out there like the Gab News. Okay. I don't go on Gab, the social media. I have it. I have an account. I've had an account for years at Gab, but I just don't go there much because I've just kind of, I've been fasting social media for 2 years now. And, but Gab News is great. When they send an article, I'll click on it, and then you go to the Gab News page, and then it's like real news. It's like what's really going on. And so there's people from different denominations, from different countries. You might have an Orthodox pastor in Romania. You might have someone outside of Europe. Where else could we have? In Asia or somewhere? And you'll have basically Christian, Orthodox Christians, lowercase o, which would include the capital O, Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christians, and great articles and such. Because again, now that I've fasted news and media and all that stuff, I'm a little more picky in what I do. If the article title grabs me, I'll read it. If it doesn't, I don't. And with them, it's not clickbait. So, now let's jump into Bethel. And what is interesting about Bethel is, that we're on doing a very, very brief examination of Bethel, is they're really like the most, really most popular And they're, I would even say, like, they're uber charismatic. There's nothing wrong with charismatic per se, but the uber charismatic, let's put it this way. I just found, like, yesterday I was watching some stuff on YouTube, and here comes some stuff on a couple things related to Bethel. One is now they got something for sale. You can buy it on their online for $10. And it's a clicker. You know the little clickers where you counter the counters? And it is a declaration clicker. So every time you declare something in the name of the Lord, declare, you click. Because the more you click and the more you declare, God's going to come around to your way of thinking. And you're going to influence God because it's that whole word of faith thing. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. A clicker. A declaration clicker. Now, what did Jesus say? Don't presume that you'll be heard by your many words and your repetitious prayers. But what are they doing? They're literally trying to manipulate God with their declaration clicker. Because it's, and folks, this is the Word of Faith movement. This is exactly what the pagans do. It's called the secret. It's called the how to get rich. It's the name it and claim it. It is a false gospel. And another thing, I wasn't even looking for Bethel, but I was watching something else, and they showed a picture of Bethel where these teenage kids were up on the stage at Bethel Church, and they're praying over this dead baby, Olive, praying for a resurrection, and it was just an atrocity. And they were just like, the things they were saying were themselves infantile. So it was a failed resurrection. Folks, this drags Christianity in the name of Jesus' name right through the mud. Again, I wasn't looking for this stuff, but there's a couple other things that, and they are affiliated with Todd Bentley. They actually promoted Todd Bentley, who was over a decade ago was responsible for the revival in Lakeland, Florida, where he kicked a guy in the stomach really hard who had cancer, and the guy died within a week or two. And there was an old lady, an elderly lady, I think she was in her 80s, and he put his biker boot and kicked her really hard right in the nose, and he said that healed her. Okay, now this is who Bill Johnson at Bethel is promoting. But that's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, you got to do it. Holy Spirit, you sure you want me to kick her? Yes. Okay. I'm just doing what you're telling me to do. How does this even pass for Christianity? How does it even pass for sanity? Folks, if this stuff doesn't upset you, then you're not awake. You don't have a pulse. This ought to just tick you off. This is the kindest Christian words I can say. So the number one priority of their gospel is a physical health. And thus, Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Folks, when these people preach, they rarely even visit this. And when they do, they use it as a diving board to jump off into their pool of cess. But it ought to be the other way. We ought to stand up on the top of the high dive, and we dive into the pool that is God's Word and swim around in that. That's the way to do it. And what did Paul say about those who come with these, any other gospel? He said, let them go to hell. Let them be damned. Let's quote it. Galatians 1:8. But even if we, in other words, Paul says, look, I preach the gospel to you. Even if I'm gone a couple years and then I come back, even if we come and preach another gospel, even if an angel from heaven comes and preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Right? And then what does he do? He said it, he repeated it. So in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have already received, let him be accursed. This is not playtime. This is not let's just, you know, play with these people's emotions about resurrecting their babies. These people are going to have to answer to God. And it ain't going to be pretty. It's scary. He also, let me finish this sentence. Such is an absurd distortion of the passage. Let me move on. I don't want to confuse you more because my notes are getting scribbly and everything. So, he, that is Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel, also teaches that John 5, 39 through 40 teaches that there are greater realities and teachings than the Scriptures. Now, this, again, is a classic case of twisted Scripture. Y'all have heard of Twisted Sister? Well, this is twisted Scripture. And it's bad. Okay, Sally's got it up. I don't need to turn there necessarily. But John 5, 39. You search the Scriptures, Jesus said to the Pharisees, teachers of the law, for in them you think you have eternal life. I quoted this Sunday. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you have eternal life. Now, Johnson teaches that there are greater realities and teachings than the Scriptures, which is, again, diametrically opposed to what that verse actually means. Because what he was saying is, he's like, look, what he was telling the Pharisees was, look, you search the Scriptures, but I'm outside the Scriptures. You need to search outside the Scriptures or you would have never found me. That's what Bill Johnson's teaching. But it's actually the opposite of what the Bible's teaching. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I am embodying the law. I fulfill the law. It all points to me. There is nothing outside of Scripture. The Word is the salvific Word. Old Testament and New Testament. Not like Andy Stanley saying we need to divide them and we need to unhitch them because the Old Testament's irrelevant. And by the way, there's no New Testament sexual ethic. These people have lost their bloody minds. And these people are teaching in the name of God. They're breaking the first commandment, have no other gods. And they're breaking the second commandment, making God into their own image. And then they're breaking the fourth commandment or the third commandment about taking, carrying the name of God in vain. Top three commandments, and the top four are all about God. It's the Sabbath is the fourth one, right? Or am I getting the Sabbath in the... I think the Sabbath is the fourth one. The third one, I think, is the taking, that carrying the name of God in vain, right? Exodus 20. So they're breaking the top three commandments, and they are in from order from severest to the least, if you can do that, if you can say that, right? Because the first four deal with God, and the next six deal with man, right? So, Bill Johnson, they're taking Scripture and not only just like being a little off with it, they're turning it on its head and saying what it's saying, it's not really saying that. It's saying the opposite. And you wonder why I don't want us to sing Bethel songs. Okay. What? Yes, no, they can. Yeah. Well, for us, it would be, right? Because that's who we're thinking of. So, confession, and this is not, shouldn't be any secret. I'm not keeping it a secret. I haven't kept it a secret. But one who is from, I think not Bethel, but from the other one, Hillsong. I think she was affiliated with Hillsong, which Hillsong and Bethel are the same, different locations. But I didn't know, I didn't do the research, and I didn't really have to do a lot of digging. You can just go on YouTube and find out what I found. But I really liked, and the lyrics are rather deep because it talks about how God is in with us during the pain and this and that. Not that by faith we're going to change his mind and he's going to make, you know, level all the mountains, right? But Lauren Daigle, I listened to her two albums and I was just loving it and praising it. But guess what? I just can't bring myself anymore to push play anymore on those because of the affiliation. And it's sad because the music, per se, the music, great. The lyrics were even good. But I have watched a video or two of hers where she tried to slides around where homosexuality is really not really a sin, and about this whole like transcendental meditation and like this new age stuff. I mean, this is what they believe and this is what they practice. You know, I'm just happy to be with you weirdos here on this, on you know, and half a dozen of you on a Wednesday night, because as crazy as y'all are sane compared to what's outside the doors. But really, I mean, this is what if these were your typical pagans. Let me tell you something. People who what I'm talking about right now, I can walk with my arm around somebody who believes all this stuff. But I can't walk with my arm around someone who says they're a Christian, embraces all this stuff. Do you see the difference? Do you see? Jesus walked with sinners. But Jesus condemned those who were teaching in God's name false doctrine. Do you see the difference? My heart goes out to those who are entrapped in this New Age bondage. Folks, it ain't one step away from voodoo. It is voodoo stuff. When you are convulsing because you have the Holy Spirit, when you are having holy laughter for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, and not one scripture passage is read, and you're slain in the Spirit. Folks, the only time anybody ever got knocked back in the Bible was those who came to apprehend Jesus. And that wasn't a good thing for them. But people talk about anecdotes about people, I flew 7 pews back, 4 pews back. I'm like, well, first of all, if it was the Holy Spirit, it was not on a good thing. He was throwing you back because you're doing wrong, if it was even the Holy Spirit. Folks, this is why we have to test the spirits. It's so easy. Is it found in the Bible? Nope. Then I don't want no part of it. And folks, it just takes a little bit of common sense. When these people, when they get their little declaration clickers, well, guess what? Bill Johnson and all these other guys, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself, so when we get there, I'll just skip over it. But while I'm thinking about it, in 2020, when there wasn't 1 million people who had tested positive for COVID, it wasn't even 1 million. It was not even 500,000. And they had all declared together that COVID would never, there would be no more deaths on COVID. This, well, that really worked out well, didn't it? But they were declaring in the name of God. So here's your options. God is wrong, or God is unable to, or they're wacko. There's your options. Or worse, they're not wacko, they're just lying to you. You see, I get amped up about this, not because pagans are doing this, but because supposed Christians are doing this. I expect all the day long pagans to practice their job description. They're blind, they're stumbling in the dark. But folks, if we are going to hold up a Bible, which they rarely do, but if they are going to preach in the quote-unquote name of Jesus Christ, if they are going to call their building and their fellowship and their body and their communion a church, we've got to call them out. We got to say that is wrong and we don't want any part of it. And it's not really even, I don't even think necessarily it's my job to call them out. Just let them have it. Don't let them have it, but no, let them have, you keep it. I'm not going to waste my time trying to rebuke those who don't want to hear it. Rebuke a fool and he'll curse you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. So, That's one thing all these Word of Faith teachers have in common is they, the minute you start taking the Bible and critiquing them, they say, nope, you can't, don't speak against God's anointed. Well, who said, prove that you're anointed. You're just going to claim you're God's anointed so we can't speak against you? How about when what you say does not line up with this, we have a right to critique it. I welcome all of y'all's critique. I welcome outside critique because I'm confident enough that I'm pretty much over the target. Now, am I always like right on the bullseye? No, of course I'm not right on the bullseye always, but at least I'm hitting the target, right? And we can debate over these nuanced topics, right, Richard? We can debate on the age of the earth. Now, you can't debate on evolution and be a Christian, I don't think. Because if you think we evolved, then either God's inept or very cruel. But he made Adam and Eve from the elements of the earth, I believe. And I think science backs that up myself. But so the age of the earth, okay. The age of the universe, we can debate that. What about eschatology? My goodness, not two people agree on eschatology. Not two people agree on every single thing on eschatology. So what does that tell you? It's not a main and plain thing. These things we can debate till the cows come home, and we will debate them till Jesus comes. And we'll all be corrected a little bit. You know, some more than others, but we're all going to be corrected a little bit, I think. Nobody's got it all down. It is purposefully cloudy, right? When the Bible inspires things, it also inspires some things to maintain a bit of mystery to them. Like, When Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh, why do you think he didn't just go ahead and spell it out what it was so that you and I could relate to it? See, there's things that are purposefully general, vague, and that is also a part of inspiration. So, not unlike other Word of Faith teachers, Bill Johnson teaches that Jesus, get this, was the first born-again man in hell. Folks, ever since the first century, the Christian fathers, the Orthodox stream who wrote the creeds and the confessions, not a one of them would put up with that. That Jesus was the first born again man in hell. This is what all the Word of Faith teachers believe this. Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar. He's the most apropos name, Creflo Dollar. Anyway, Joel Osteen, how could I forget him? He's probably the most popular ever since Benny Hinn kind of waned. But, you know, and all of them, at least Joel Osteen doesn't, well, at least I don't think he claims to resurrect people, but some of them do. But still, so Jesus did not go to hell. He did not owe, it, you know what, Jesus's hell was experienced on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Read Psalm 22 and it gives you, I think, a poetic, metaphorical kind of, just to give you a hint of maybe the anguish Jesus experienced on the cross. Because then is when it was paid. And how do we know it was paid in full? Because he said so. He said, it is finished. And he said, when he said tetelestai, he was saying, it is paid in full. In the Greek, it is paid in full. That is why he was able to say, today you will be with me in paradise. That is why he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, not into hell I commit my spirit. Folks, all it takes is a little bit of reading your Bible to know that that's heresy. Jesus never needed to be born again. All right. Generally speaking, such theology... Okay, wait. He also teaches because of Mary's faith and assertiveness. This is what Bill Johnson teaches, speaking of of when you remember at the wedding, it's in the early chapters of John 2 or 3 or whatever, where right here, John 2:3 and following. Here's what Bill, again, here's where that clicker comes in, right? Because Jesus, after all, can be manipulated if you got a clicker. I'm not trying to be funny. This is what they're showing, because Mary had such a strong declaration, because she had such a strong faith. She might not have had the clicker, but she is why we need a clicker, because she was so assertive. Folks, this is what they preach: be assertive. From what I understand, Jesus said, "Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Right? Not the assertive. Notice he didn't say, "Blessed are the assertive." He didn't say, "Blessed are those who celebrate," but, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You see, this stuff, why it appeals to so many people is because it appeals to the flesh. That is why it appeals to so many people. And so these unlearned, and I don't even think they're sheep. I think most of them are still goats. They're not born again. They don't follow the Lamb wherever he goes. But they do. They want their ears tickled. They want the signs. They want the prophecies. You know what Jesus said? He said, perverse is the generation who keeps after signs. Folks, Jesus was taught, you had God personified right in front of you, and then you're asking for signs. What an insult to the Lord of glory. What an insult. So Mary's assertiveness changed Jesus' mind regarding his time, because she asked him to do something about the wine was out, and he goes, "It's not my time." But because of her faith, he turned that water into wine, even though it wasn't his time. Right? Because he says, "Woman, what does that your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But if you read, you see he actually does a miracle there. But we won't go into that, because we've already been through all that recent in John chapter 2. So Numbers 23:19 is the next one we have. I think we have queued up. Who wants to worship a God who can be manipulated, or for that matter, even change? Folks, if God changed his mind, he wouldn't be worth worshiping. Don't you know? You know God doesn't think. If he thinks, that means he's learning. Do you think, isn't God omniscient? Doesn't he know everything? Let's read what the Bible says about this. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. In other words, change his mind. He has said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not a man. He will not be manipulated, and he doesn't need his mind changed. That's why prayer is not about moving the hand of God. Prayer is the hand of God moving you and molding and shaping you into the image of his Son. And when you learn to pray, and we're still always learning to pray. Again, like I said at the onset, I don't pray always for, hardly ever do I even pray for him to change the circumstances, because he's got the circumstances there for a reason. So pray that your will come about through, because of, or in spite of these circumstances. That is what the mature Christian learns to pray. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm all mature and everything, but what I'm saying, this is what we need to be learning to pray. Generally speaking, such theology of the word of faith elevates man and dethrones God, and assumes that man is generally good and just needs to find the inner goodness and release it. If there is anything opposite the gospel, it is that. Again, if you're just not sure about someone who you've been witnessing to, and you're like, well, maybe they're Christian, maybe they're not, ask them if he or she is a good person. And you'll have your answer, whether they're a Christian or not. Because if they think they're all that, or even, I literally, there was an elderly lady who I witnessed to a long time ago, and I said, well, you know, we're all sinners. And she goes, yeah, well, one time, a long time, I sinned one time a long time ago. I'm like, what the heck, did you get up yet this morning? I mean, years and years, decades ago, she did, that was that one sin, I sinned one time. Well, I'm like, well, guess what, that's all it takes. Didn't want need to go and try to convince her that she'd probably sinned that day. Boy, let me tell you, I'm tempted to tell on myself, but y'all already know I'm such a dirtbag. Today was a rough day at work, and I am not proud of it. In fact, I did not even want to mention this, but I guess I will. I mean, things were frustrating me, and this is how spiritually immature I can be. I was speaking in tongues today, and it was not good. It was not good at all. No one else but God heard it, but that's enough. And you do that, and you just that's why I really, really know two things. What a wretch I am, and man, I sinned before I even woke up this morning. And y'all may laugh at that, but I was sinning in my dreams this morning. I am wretched to the bloody core. But my Savior and His blood covers a multitude of sins. In fact, it has covered every sin I've ever committed, which is innumerable, and every sin I will commit. Glory, hallelujah to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. And if you've embraced the good news, you're also embracing that you are also rotten to the core. But He's changing that. He is conforming us into His image. And part of that is waking up and opening your spiritual eyes, looking into the spiritual mirror and seeing the, whoa, who's that snaggletooth, bent nose, scraggly haired looking wench, right? So, there are but a few theological heresies, and now let's consider a few misleading practices. So I've just given you just a handful of Bethel's antics. So when this is so sad. When teaching their church, so basically you come tonight, we'll teach you how to prophesy. Just show up. Okay. Excuse me.